Prologue. Regina Caulfield was busy packing her trunk to return home after her last college course. She was leaving early to avoid taking another dull session that wouldn't do anything to further what she wanted to do with her life. She blew a lock of her deep brown hair out of her eyes and folded another blouse. After taking classes in nursing and teaching, she realized she didn't wish to make either a career, nor did she wish to return home to her father, stepmother, and 5 half-siblings. Her mother had died giving her life, and her father avoided her because she reminded him of having lost the love of his life. Worried he could never raise a girl child on his own, he'd married his second wife a few short months after Regina had been born. His second wife was a shrew, but he hadn't known it until it was too late. She'd given him a child a year for 5 years, 3 boys and 2 girls. Regina didn't hate her years at the boarding school she had attended since she was 8, but she did hate spending summers and holidays at home. Until she was 15, some of that time had been spent with her maternal grandparents. Regina had learned to ride astride so she didn't have to use the ridiculous side saddle they had insisted she use at school. While there, she had access to books on science, warfare, mystery, and subjects never broached in the fancy boarding school for young ladies. Her grandfather had taught her how to shoot a rifle and handgun. Her grandmother had introduced her to the safety measure of the small derringer she kept in her pocket. When she was 16, they had died from consumption within a few months of each other, and Regina had been forced to spend entire summers at home. Her dislike of spending the summers at home was only surpassed by her stepmother's hatred of her. Regina's photographic memory unnerved her stepmother when she would share facts she had learned from her grandparents' books with her family. Her stepmother didn't believe Regina and thought she had made the facts up to make herself seem smarter than she was. At least they had sent her to comfortable boarding schools, and she had received a good education, until her 17th summer. The stable boy loved to tease Regina, insisting on calling her Gina, which she abhorred. She warned him that if he called her Gina again, she would shoot him. He had laughed and asked her for a kiss, calling her lovely Gina. She had pulled her derringer, the last gift her grandmother had given her, and she shot him. It had only been a flesh wound in his upper arm, and she had told him she had intentionally shot him in the arm. If he called her Gina again, she would make him regret it. The noise had brought her father and stepmother running. Enough cash had kept the police out of the situation, and Regina had been sent to a stricter boarding school. It wasn't the hellish situation for which her stepmother had hoped. Yes, gone were the fancy single or double rooms, and she had to live in a large dormitory instead. Yet, being so close to so many different girls gave Regina a new understanding of life. Not all the girls had come from the same wealth as she, but they weren't well-behaved angels either. She had discovered the excitement of the dime novel from one of her friends and wanted more than anything to be a U.S. Marshal, but she knew that would never be. Being a sheriff in a small town would have made her happy, but she knew that only happened in the stories she read. She flung her last piece of clothing into the trunk, slammed the lid, and dropped onto her bed, dreading having to return home to her father and the shrew. Regina knew her father would do his best to force her to marry some rich, dull idiot who would expect her to have many babies and host teas and boring dinner parties. Her thoughts were broken when Christina, one of her roommates, rushed in with a letter from a lawyer. Regina, who was lovingly called Reggie by her friends, worried about what it might contain. Perhaps her father was letting her know she was no longer welcome to return home. She opened the letter hurriedly, reading it twice before just sitting there, staring at the words. Her maternal grandparents, it seemed, had left her an inheritance, one her father could never touch. The monthly allowance would be enough for her to live comfortably whether or not she worked. The bulk of the inheritance would be given to her on her 30th birthday, to invest in a seamstress's shop or boarding house to take care of her for the rest of her life. If she married, she could access the funds sooner. What should she do? She remembered having a conversation with another student who had said the Pinkerton Detective Agency in Chicago occasionally hired women. Could she? Would she? No, not in Chicago. It would mean she would have to go home. Surely her stepmother would have her committed to an asylum. She needed to go elsewhere.